Hello there. We are back, Matt Wilhelm.
We are
back and better than ever. And I'll tell you what, in Berea, the excitement is back. The players are here. The coaches are here. Everybody is here. Conditioning test today at 4 o'clock. Training camp day one tomorrow. And they are going to hit the ground running, according to head coach Hugh Jackson. We got a big show for you today, getting you ready for training camp tonight at 7 o'clock on News Channel 5. Matt Wilhelm, myself, and Andy Baskin will get you ready for training camp. We got a TV training camp special as well. But today at 1:15, you're going to hear from the Browns chief revenue officer, Brent Stelick, his debut on CBD, talking about enhancements to fan experience, training camp, the orange and brown, the season. Also, he will tell you where the best place to get a wing is in this city.
Not too far from where I reside.
Not too far from my home. Far from your boy on the east side, unfortunately for me. Also, 1:30, we're going to hear a trio press conference. It was nice. You had head coach Hugh Jackson, executive vice president of football operations, Sashi Brown, chief strategy officer, Paul DePodesta, the three of them. We're going to give you part one of that press conference at 1:30, part two of it at 2:30. Also, at 2 o'clock, we'll have the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, with us live here in studio. We'll also get in a little quarterback preview. But, Matt, I just want to start off by saying this. Reunited, and it feels so good.
It does, and it's an exciting time for all these individuals, as you mentioned, walking into this building, depending on how long it's been since they've been back. The renovations are done. Everything should feel fresh, feel new, and I think I want to see that excitement and the effort that has gone into this building now carry and spill onto that practice field, which will be a grind, I hope, with Hugh Jackson. Finally, make it feel like a grind again and not, chasing daisies and catching butterflies as it has been in the past. And then that grind carries over and the effort carries over into First Energy Stadium when, you know, things get real.
And it's you get the sense that this is going to be, we've talked about it and you've heard about it, but it almost, there's an intensity in the building right now, because I think when these guys get out there, it's going to be time to go to work. And I think you're going to see a group today. I fully expect when we go out there at 4 o'clock to watch this conditioning period and watch these guys all breeze through it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, that kind of cliffhanging is the feeling that I get being in this building. You're extremely confident enough so that you can walk to the edge. You have confidence in everything you've heard from Hugh Jackson. You have confidence in what you've heard from the players. You have confidence in yourself, your department, but you're just not sure exactly what's going to show up on the football field. Yep. And I think that's the excitement of, taking that leap of faith with your Cleveland Browns as a fan, as an employee, whatever it might be, your opportunity to buy those season tickets if you've been in limbo. All those things we'll get to see on a daily basis, and it's just going to start building more and more belief in what you see at practice is going to be very similar to what you see in the games.
Yes, and that's what you need, right? You have to set the tone.
Yes.
And if you're a player, you've gone away for the summer, you know this conditioning test is coming up, how, and you know what Hugh Jackson expects of you and is demanding of you.
Right.
So what do you do as a player? Do you know what the test is, right?
Yes.
So do you kind of go through it? Do you run through it a couple times?
I would think it. No. You may or may not know what the test is.
Okay.
I mean, there are sometimes coaches with a veteran group that want, that will be very player friendly and let them know prior to leaving. And so, yes, last week or 10 days, 2 weeks, you've run that test multiple times amongst change of directions and ball skills and working drills and so on and so forth on the football field. But if you've done diligence and you're in shape, this is not a test to kill you. It's not like a finals exam that we're going to stress you to the utmost degree to make sure that you've grasped onto everything we've given you over this entire semester. That's not it. It's what have you been doing over the last 5 weeks that has been your break? And are you ready for what the next 30 days is going to be made up of? And even furthermore, and that's something that I talked about with Gibbs and Gribbs and Dino when he was doing our show, is I believe that the meetings that will take place tonight after the conditioning test are going to be a mental test as well. So if you have to be mentally and physically ready, and you could probably run this test at about 80%, maybe 85%, and pass with flying colors. It's the guys that feel like they have to go 100% to pass this test, and then how they look, how they feel after it, I wouldn't be surprised if one, if not two or more guys are maybe throwing up, probably because of this amazing lunch. And then, you know, just not, they just haven't put themselves through the ringer the way they should have to make it easy. It can be hard or it can be easy. And as you said, I think it's going to be easy for a vast majority of the these guys because Hugh Jackson has laid out the expectations of what he wants these guys to come back and be ready for, both mentally and physically. And again, the mental will come tonight. The physical will be at 4 o'clock.
And we certainly can't wait to see that, because this really is day one of the season, in my mind. This is day one. This is when the 2016 Cleveland Browns season starts. Starts with this conditioning, the meetings you talked about that set the tone, and then tomorrow, the first day of practice, and we certainly can't wait to see that. One thing that I didn't get an opportunity to weigh in on or talk about was the reinstatement of Josh Gordon. I've been a long-time proponent of the free Josh Gordon movement, and he has been freed. He is back. Now, of course, he will be suspended for the first four games. And Sashi Brown at the press conference, which we'll play for you at 1:30 and 2:30, said that he did not know, the NFL has not informed the Browns what those four games are about. However, he is thrilled that Josh is back based on the meetings that he and Hugh Jackson and the Haslams have had with Josh Gordon. They believe in him, the player, and they also believe, of course, that when you look at the situation as a whole, the fact that the NFL made a special dispensation for him to still be in meetings during those four games is kind of a trial run for the rest of the NFL.
So it is.
There's a lot of responsibility on Josh, and ultimately Josh is going to decide what he is capable of doing, and I certainly am very excited to see that unfold. I'm a big fan of the guy's game, and you know, as you're sitting there and with the news of it coming back, all the highlights they've been playing of him, the guy is absolutely dominant. And there's the one play that they've showed a billion times where he takes a slant against the Patriots, stiff arms Aqib Talib, who is one of the better corners in the league, goes 85 yards. He just looks like a man playing with boys. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the thought of Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman on the field at the same time with
and
RG3
Gary Bartage
and Big Play
and Duke
Gare
Johnson
and Duke and the Crow, I get to get a little excited. I really think we have the opportunity to be an exciting, fun-to-watch football team. And a lot of people who are excited about the Raiders and the Jaguars, the two teams that are the darlings this year, it started really with offensive excitement.
Yeah.
And if we can get that here, I think that's going to be a big
thing.
And
even well beyond the offense excitement that the players that you just mentioned will bring, and as Hugh Jackson just walked by the dog bowl, I think the offense excitement will come by the risk-taking, the formations, the game planning that Hugh Jackson and his staff will put into for those players. It will be exciting because he is our offensive coordinator slash play caller. And then you put in the accessories that you talked about, finally using Duke Johnson the way he's supposed to be used, and giving Crow the carries that he deserves to and earn in the situations that are advantageous to his skill set, and trying to duplicate what Barnage did last year, and featuring Corey Coleman as our one, and potentially Josh Gordon as our two or our one slash two, whatever you want to call him. And then the possession receiving of Jordan Payton and all those other assets to become available to us.
I mean, you were just talking about having like two number one receivers. I mean, we haven't had, other than that one season of Josh Gordon,
right,
we haven't had anybody sniffing a number one receiver.
Correct.
Level on this team. And all of a sudden, now we have the potential to have two. And then you were talking about Payton and Hollywood. I mean, there's some excitement potentially here.
There absolutely is. And it's something that, you know, Andrew and I talked about in the last couple of days. Do you feel like with the reinstatement of Josh Gordon and obviously his ability to make this football team, if he is in shape and recovers from this quad injury and walks the straight and narrow, could that potentially put the roster spot of Terrell Pryor, who worked extremely hard and has developed into what looks like an NFL wide receiver, in jeopardy?
I think it changes everything in that wide receiver room. I don't think anybody's job other than I don't think anybody's roster spot other than Corey Coleman. Now, the difference is he's going to be suspended for the first four games.
Correct.
So he's not going to count. So Pryor could make it as a chance in games to stay, but I think it changes everything in that wide receiver conversation because so Coleman is going to make this football team.
Correct.
I mean, let's just Corey Coleman's making this team. Josh Gordon's going to make this team, but he's not going to count against 53. But when he does come back, that's two. You drafted four.
Correct.
So that could be six.
Right.
You've also got Andrew Hawkins. That's seven.
Taylor
you
Gabriel.
You also got Taylor Gabriel. I think Taylor Gabriel is very much
on the
bubble.
We haven't mentioned him, but I will mention him.
Terrell Pryor. Then you've got Marlon Moore. Who,
right.
I mean, nobody gives you more of himself than Marlon Moore.
But, and I'll interject here, and there are guys that I've played with and against throughout my eight-year career that are just like Marlon Moore. And it's not even Father Time. It's the business of the NFL eventually catches up with a guy who's, you know, he's not a great player, but boy, he runs to the football and he's always around the football, or he hustles this, or he's a special teams guy. There's going to come a time in his career where you have to be a baller at a position and a baller on special teams. And right now, Marlon Moore is a contributor at wide receiver with young players. And
it becomes better of expense, right?
Correct.
Right. And, yes. And I think what the Browns, I would imagine, just given the way that, you know, I've heard kind of him talked about as a raw, moldable clay, physically has all the gifts to be maybe the best receiver of this draft class, just from a physical standpoint, size, speed, combo, that's Ricardo Lewis. What he's going to have to do is they're going to hope to turn him into that baller special teams guy.
So that's what I said right after we drafted him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think the wide receiver competition now becomes incredibly interesting. And I, again, I don't think outside of Corey Coleman, I don't think anybody can say they're making this team. Josh Gordon, if Josh Gordon does what Josh Gordon has to do to prove that he is on the straight and narrow and stays out of trouble, Josh Gordon's making this team. Josh Gordon is on a different level. But outside of those two, like, I don't think this makes – I think – because what's going to happen is when you look at it, if you've got Gordon and Coleman on the field at the same time, in a two-receiver set, they're both going to be outside, right? In a three-receiver set, now you have flexibility because we've seen Gordon play in the slot and be very effective as that big slot. We've seen Coleman in college play inside. So a guy like Andrew Hawkins, I don't think necessarily his spot where I would have thought it was incredibly secure now becomes a little bit less perhaps, because what if Hollywood Higgins looks so good? What if Peyton looks so good and you want to play with a little bit bigger of a slot receiver, or you want to use those guys on the outside and shift Corey in so Corey can't get any press man? So Corey's getting free releases everywhere.
Right.
So there, I think that outside, I think Josh Gordon's reinstatement changes absolutely everything about that room. And the only person that I would say definitively will make this team is Corey Coleman.
Right. And what also is very interesting as we're diving into everything training camp is the competitions that will happen opposite those wide receivers in the cornerback room. As we talk about the same type of, I don't want to say problems, these are good things to have, and good teams have these problems, but the number of names that could potentially both make this team or be cut by this team in both the wide receiver room and the corner room, It's a long list of guys.
I think you're right. I think those are the two positions that jump out as you of saying, okay, here's where we have really maybe two to three more viable guys than we could possibly keep.
We have eight guys for six spots. We have nine guys for six spots.
Right. I think that might be the number. And then at receiver, you know, Rinnell Hall was a guy that certainly caught everybody's attention in the offseason. Darius Jennings has performed very, very well. So you've got that many guys for probably, what, six spots at wide receiver, if we're being generous. And then you flip it to the corners, as you alluded to. You've got, right off the top of our heads, Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Justin Gilbert. Okay, that's three.
Kaywan
Williams is four. Former fourth-round draft pick Pierre Desir, that is five. Charles Gaines, who was drafted and has played for this team, that is six.
Trey Caldwell,
who was drafted this year. Jamar Taylor. That's eight.
Right.
They're not all going to be here.
Eight for six.
So those two head-to-head matchups that you're going to be seeing day in and day out, I think, are going to be some of the most exciting parts of camp.
Seven-on-seven, one-on-ones.
Yeah.
They're going to be under the spotlight to perform.
And the great thing is, that means it's associated with the quarterback as well. So you're going to be getting to see the quarterbacks as well. And I will give one spoiler. Hugh Jackson said that he will name a starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns before the first preseason game. That's exactly when you and I talked about the time frame. We said it's got to be happen before you go to Green Bay. It will. I still 100% expect that to be Robert Griffin III.
Agreed.
And it's going to come. And I think it's going to come sooner than maybe people think. But I think, you know, they want to see him out here. And they want to, I think they didn't want Robert to go into the summer comfortable. They want him to continue working. And I think when he comes back here, he will be there soon. And that's not a knock on Josh Gordon. I just think it's more of a reflection of where this football team is at, this organization is at, and what they want to see. And the one guy that could end up from that quarterback room, at least right now, end up as the future of face of your franchise is RG3. So you want to see what you have from Robert Griffin III. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. Actually, I'm sorry. When we come back, we're going to hear from Brent Stelick, the Chief Revenue Officer of the Cleveland
Browns. Everything going on in and around the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, and if you like wings, listen up. He's going to have some advice for you because Nobody likes wings more than Brent Stelick. He's up next, the Chief Revenue Officer of the Cleveland Browns, his CBD debut right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl by Chief Browns Chief Revenue Officer Brent Stelick. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl. Very pleased for the first time in CBD history to be joined by the Browns Chief Revenue Officer Brent Stelick. Brent, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Exciting. Walk by a lot. First time I've been asked to come in, so pretty excited.
Oh, no, we've wanted you here many times. It's the first time you've accepted our
He's a busy man now.
Or been allowed. He is a busy man now, yes, taking on extra responsibilities, a lot of the marketing, fan experience stuff now under your umbrella, Brent. So let's start there. Training camp begins tomorrow. What can fans expect at Browns training camp this year?
11 open practices. Exciting. The first three are sold out. So we're going to have another great crowd. Four of the sessions have been sold out. It'll be fun. Listen, to me, this reminds me a lot of my time in baseball when I'd go to spring training. You get to see the guys with the helmets off. You get a lot of autographs. Kids have fun. Access to players and coaches that you don't normally get at a stadium. So I encourage everyone to come out and spend some time here at camp.
And for the second consecutive year, the Browns are going to take a trip 2 hours south to the Horseshoe for the Orange and Brown scrimmage.
That's the house that you built.
Well, I did my best. I've got a few bricks. That's about it. But just talk about, you know, the link to Columbus and what that means from, you know, a full Ohio perspective and also the Columbus perspective to take that trip each and every year and get these guys out of their comfort zone.
Yes, it's important for us to spend time with our fans throughout the state. You know, 3.5 million fans are all over the place. The more we can go to them and bring this Browns experience, the more these fans will grow up Browns fans and hopefully come to the stadium and become long-term fans of the Browns. Went to Akron a couple years ago, went to the Horseshoe last year, we're going back. We have nearly 70,000 tickets distributed.
Wow.
For August 6th at the Shoe. My guess is we'll end up around 75,000. It's really exciting. It's a great environment. I mean, you know it better than anyone.
I do.
That stadium is iconic. It's a great market for our fans, so we're excited to be down there and continue to do more of that in the future.
For when fans come, you talked about the access they get at training camp, and they're going to get to see Hugh Jackson and that energy and the intensity that he's going to bring as the head coach. But in terms of activities, you know, that's always been something that's been there, and also with the renovations here, some of the new areas, et cetera, how's that going to kind of enhance the fan experience at training camp?
You know, it'd be fun to see. I was out there the other day with my family for our family barbecue,
yep.
And I stood in the tent and looked back at the building, and it was such a different view of like, wow, like this was a huge renovation.
Yep.
You see it when you drive up with the players' entrance. You see it when you walk around the locker room and the players' area. But when you stand in on the field or in the tent and look back, it's amazing the amount of change that's happened here to the building. For our fans, you know, getting close and personal, our partners will be out here activating, you know, providing gifts and games and prizes for them. But for me, it's always about like, how do you get as close as you can to the players? Because this is that one time you're going to see them.
That is the practice experience, and the one thing that I have been blown away by, you know, simply playing almost in every NFL stadium, was the game day experience. That is something that I thought has been second to none over the last couple of years. What's in store now that the renovations are fully done at First Energy Stadium for the fans to come, 74,000 plus, and enjoy a great product on the field with Hugh Jackson, a led team, but also the experience in and around First Energy Stadium?
Yeah, so we've spent a lot of time and effort on this. From the banners to Dog Pound Drive, where we activate pregame, to completely overhauling our concessions experience throughout the stadium, which is near and dear to my heart, and I know you guys as well. I think when we look forward to the next season, you know, no matter what we do, on the field matters. Like, we have to win to really have a great fan experience. Coach Jackson
sure.
knows it. Sashi knows it. Depot knows it. Jimmy and Dee know it. The whole organization knows we have to win or none of that other stuff matters. Until then, we've got a whole separate group, though, that's working on great ways to interact with our fans. You know, we added Wi-Fi about midway through last season, so that's fully operational. We'll continue to roll some things out this year. The new intros for our players as they enter the game will be really cool. But I don't want to give too much away right now.
All right.
People to come out and see it in August and September.
All right, let's talk about the concessions, since that is near and dear to all three of our hearts. We like food. We like good food. What can people expect at training camp and then also at the stadium come game day?
So Aramark does an amazing job, as you know, at the stadium, and they continually challenge us and push ideas to us for this coming season. So I'm not a mimosa guy, but I'm excited about the mimosa pop-up bars that they have.
Wow. Demographic. My wife will be happy.
I was going to say, there will be some ladies happy.
I'm surprised how many Bloody Marys we sell at the pop-ups we have throughout the concourse and the suite.
I'm out on tomato juice. I'm just going to be honest. I'm out.
Me too.
It's a non-starter.
Listen, we're 100%, 3 out of 3,
daily are out on
tomato juice.
There we go. Okay. We're out.
Good.
We all agree on
we'll
that.
Be mimosa guys instead.
Yeah, right.
We're spending some time with some other local chefs.
Okay.
We've got some great chef partners, Jonathan Sawyer, Michael Simon, Rocco Whalen. We're investigating a couple other partners to come in and do one or two, like a pop-up stand, which would be interesting. So we may bring Bubba Baker back and have his ribs.
Some of the ribs, yeah.
Or some other options just to change the variety for our fans.
Last one for me, and I know you got to run. You are a very busy man. What is the one thing that Brent Stelick is most looking forward to in the upcoming 2016 season?
This is a hard-hitting question.
Because I hit you from all angles.
Fastball.
Most looking forward to. That is a darn good question. For me, we spend so much time in the offseason, so working toward, you forget why you're doing a lot of this. So the players aren't here for a while. The coaches aren't here. You don't see the stadium. Opening day, the home opener, when we play the Ravens, and you stop for a second, you see all these fans going nuts and booing the Ravens for obvious reasons and going crazy. That is always my favorite moment of the season, just because it reminds everyone here how much work you'd put in and it's a good culmination.
No, that's the exact point that I was going to make. Everyone works all year for those 16 opportunities and 8 being here. And that's the first of those 8, and you want to see all your hard work really seeing everything through. Yeah.
Second would be the road trip to Miami, probably. I'm excited about that, entertaining some partners down there.
Nice.
But, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. I'd like to go do some entertaining with you in Miami. I just want you to know if you need me for entertainment.
I feel like you're already on that trip.
I am on the trip.
Okay.
I'll be there. I'm just saying if you need me for entertainment.
Got it.
I can be an assistant to you, assistant to Stelick on the entertainment side of things. All right. We talk about it all the time on this show because, we've been in the building now for a couple different regimes, a couple different head coaches. And to us, the difference with Hugh Jackson, you can feel it, the energy that he brings. From your experience, what is it about Hugh Jackson that you've seen or experienced and that has you excited? If you are excited. I think you are.
So a lot of the fans don't know. The players and coaches and personnel go away for 4 or 5 weeks, mid-late June to mid-late July. And it gets quiet here.
So very.
You still work, and we still have jobs we have to do every day. You guys are on the radio talking about.
We go away as well.
But when they come back, you don't realize until the day they come back, like the shot of adrenaline that is given to the staff. I mean, Hugh's walking around. What are we doing to win a Super Bowl today? Al Saunders is my. I mean, he's
the greatest.
He walks in. I mean, he is a ball of energy. What I've seen. This is my fourth season here. I've just seen a completely different style of practice, energy. Focus. These guys are they're pros, and I'm excited for that and for our fans to see it at camp.
Yeah.
But we see it in the building every day, so we have a little bit of a bias there.
Absolutely. Well, Brent, we know you've got a lot to do here. Getting ready. Training camp begins tomorrow here in Berea. That's certainly going to be a lot of fun to see. We appreciate your time, and since you are a food man, we'll let you give 2 recommendations to the listeners of places they must go in this fine city
to have
a Stelick-esque dining experience.
Only two would be really tough.
Only two.
We'll focus on the item. So if you're going to go only 2 places for wings.
Okay. Okay.
High-end or low-end? High-end Greenhouse Tavern.
The confit wings.
Yeah, the confit. Those wings are just unique to Cleveland. Every city I've been in.
Fall off the bone.
They're fantastic.
Yep.
But it's not necessarily in everyone's price range because it's just one set of wings there and they got a whole lot of other stuff that you may or may not want to order.
Sure.
If you want dive bar wings, my favorite wings in the United States of America, ZZ's Big Top, Avon, Ohio.
Avon, Ohio.
I don't want too many people to go and make it crowded.
So right.
Don't all rush there at once. They're fantastic wings.
Just tweet out when you're going and be like, nobody can come. It's a Stelick night at ZZ's.
But both those wings, you can't go wrong.
What's your favorite sauce at ZZ's?
The Bangarang sauce, which is a combination. It's again unique to ZZ's. The combination of 5 or 6 different sauces. It's like when you were a kid and you go to the soda machine.
Oh yeah,
you
just like
you go to 5 or 6.
Yeah.
That's what. But it's fantastic.
Wow.
Okay. So there it is. There it is. ZZ's. The Bangarang. Brent Stelick, ladies and gentlemen, we hope to have you back. I feel like you should become a regular.
I'd love to.
I'd love to give you a
I mean, the kid's on here quite a bit.
The kid is,
this
right.
Is my first time. It's yeah. Almost 4 years I've been here.
That was Browns Chief Revenue Officer Brent Stelick with us. Up next, we will go to the podium, and we will hear part one of the press conference with head coach Hugh Jackson, Executive Vice President of Football Operations Sashi Brown, and Chief Strategy Officer Paul DePodesta here, as everybody is back in the building, and it is exciting here in Berea. Let's hear from the top men in the football organization of the Cleveland Browns next. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, the first day of football here in Berea for 2016. Let's hear from the men in charge of our football operation, Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, and Paul DePodesta at the podium right now.
Okay, so how's everybody doing? It's good to be back. It's always an exciting time of the year, especially for football, when you get ready to go to training camp. But I wanted to make sure that I commended our staff and the renovation and the crew that worked here on this building. It is an exciting building for our football players and our team, and it's something I think our guys would be very proud to be a part of being here every day, because I think they did a great job of getting this building up and running and having it ready for when our players walked in a building. So I'm very excited about that as well. But again, this is an opportunity for us to get back. It's another part of our process of getting our football team ready to go for the season.
A great start from the spring. Carry that over, and the work that we'll put in this summer is really important. We're excited to see the guys back. I know they're excited to be here, so I won't say too much more than that. I know you all have a ton of questions, but we're ready to get going, and the excitement's in the building, and I'm sure we'll see it translate on the field with the work effort.
Yeah, nothing different here. I'm obviously very excited. This is novel for me, looking forward to my first training camp and just continuing to have an opportunity to learn, you know, an awful lot, hopefully, over the course of the next 6 weeks.
We'll open it up. Hugh and Sashi, can we start with Isaiah Crowell's situation? Are you guys satisfied with the steps he's taken so far to turn negative into a positive, like you said?
Yeah, I think it starts with, obviously, grave disappointment in the action in the first place, and we don't skip past that. But you know, Crow, to his credit, called both Hugh and I on his own to be accountable. He had wanted to make steps. Obviously, it was a huge mistake for him. We will have some discussions internally and handle it internally, but he has taken the steps that I think, at least at the outset, that he should. Rightfully so, to make something that was very wrong into a right. And we'll use that as a teaching lesson for the entire team. Something that Hugh preaches was disappointing, but hopefully from some of this, some good can come.
There may be a segment of your fan base that doesn't forgive him. Is that a concern at all, whatever kind of reaction he may get during camp or exhibition games, et cetera?
And that could be the case, and rightfully so. I mean, as Sash just said, it was very disappointing. But at the same time, we don't feel that that's Crow's character. And I truly believe that he'll continue to work at making this right. And I think that's very important to all three of us sitting up here, that he does continue to do his part as far as making sure that that's right. And Sashi said it best. It's going to be an opportunity for us to really teach our team. It's unfortunate. It's that kind of lesson to learn. But sometimes that's what it is. But more so than that, I truly believe that this is not who Isaiah Crowell is. And I think I hope everybody just gives him an opportunity to prove that as we move forward.
Sashi, what was your conversation like with Josh Gordon when he returned? And what do you think his mindset is after such a long time away?
Well, he's excited to be back. We are glad to have him back. You know, it's a long time for a player who's on your roster to be away from the team. So just getting back into the structure and with his teammates in the building, I think it will be a very healthy thing for him. I'm not going to get into the details of the conversation, but certainly welcomed him back and set the expectations for his being here. Certainly showed our support for him and wanted to make sure we understand how we can help him. It was a quick turn. You know, we got word from the league and he showed up here in less than 24 hours later. So we're doing our best, continue to get a handle on the situation, and we'll work with Josh through that.
When we were talking in the past you were non-committal about whether or not you'd welcome him back. What made the decision to go ahead and say, yeah, you're on our team?
Well, I think we had an opportunity to speak with Josh while he was out through certainly the folks in our player engagement department. But also we're in close contact with the league. So we did have communications with them to understand what his meeting with the commissioner was like and what they took away from it. We were able to talk to Josh when he got here as well. And if the message from Josh and the pledge from Josh wasn't consistent with what we wanted to see from him, we would have made a different decision. That wasn't the case. He's in earnest, wants to make the most of this opportunity, and he knows his situation. And so we're going to get around him and give him that opportunity.
You, Paul Burnett, given his history, do you have confidence that you can rely on him all year when once he gets back anyway?
Right. I mean, obviously we're going to find that out. You know, he's going to have to be accountable to what it is that he needs to do first and foremost. And we understand that the league have expectations for him, and we do too. And we shared those with him. And I truly believe that he wants to make it right as well. I think what's important, I think you guys kind of know how I go about it. You know, his slate's clean with me. You know, I don't have a lot of history with Josh that way. And obviously, but his history is preceding him. And I think he knows that. And I think the only way to deal with a player in these situations is to kind of hit the restart button for him. And he has to go do it. You know, like I said, the league has said what their expectations are. We have said what our expectations are. We've laid it out. And I think it's crystal clear what needs to happen as we move forward.
Were you surprised he showed up with an injury? And the statement said 2 weeks before he could probably get on the field. How does this complicate managing him in the preseason, knowing he's not going to have him for four games anyway?
You know, honestly, I think it wasn't disappointing because, again, you know, you're talking about a player that we didn't have any contact with. And I'm sure, you know, just knowing him a little bit, he was probably trying to do everything he could to get himself in the best shape that he possibly could. But we'll have a plan in place to manage him as we move forward. I think the most important thing is just getting him healthy first. And then after we get him through that process, and then we'll move on to the next plan that we have to get him to where he needs to be.
You're not the first coach here who's tried to kind of reach Josh Gordon and get him to stay on the field. What do you think is going to be different about your approach, or what do you think you can do differently?
Well, I don't know if it's just me. I think it's the environment that we have here. I think there's a different culture here. I think the players, it won't just be myself and the staff, it'll also be his teammates that would help him be a part of this and be accountable, because I think we're going to all lift each other up and help each other be the best we can be. And I think that's where it all starts. It's not just me. Obviously, I'm kind of the head of this from that standpoint, but it kind of all trickles down. And I think we all try to help each other as much as we can. And I think we'll be there for him. I'm not saying that there won't be any bumps in the road. We all understand there possibly could be. But at the same time, we'll dust him off and get him back to where he needs to be as fast as we can.
Can you talk about the fact that you came from a team in the Bengals that they're kind of known for giving second, third, maybe sometimes even fourth chances to guys that have a past, and you have a track record with that, you know, yourself. Can you just talk about your kind of general philosophy on giving guys second, third, fourth chances?
And I appreciate you saying that. I try not to compare, you know, situations. Obviously, you know, I've been through this a little bit. But at the same time, I think our structure here, you know, with Paul and Sashi and then the support from D and Jimmy, and I think the players, I really feel good about our team, because I think it all starts in the locker room. I think if a player really wants to change, you have to create an environment for him to change. And I know with these two men that are sitting up here with me that we're going to make sure that we have the right structure in place for him. And then I think it works over in the locker room, like I said, with our veteran players, the guys that have been here with him before, who understand maybe some of the shortcomings that he's had in the past, and that we can help manage him through those, you know. But again, at the end of the day, I think Josh truly understands and believes it's about him. He has to do this himself. You know, he's a grown man. And so this is pro football, and he has to be accountable that way to be a part of this as we move forward.
How did you feel when he kept showing up at events with Manziel?
Honestly, I had no feeling about it, because at the end of the day, we didn't have any contact with him, you know, anyone.
Yeah, I'd echo what you said.
Think that was a smart thing to be doing?
I'm not going to get into that. I mean, I think we can move past.
The one thing that, I mean, it's the guy who's now going to be suspended in 4 straight years, at least part of the season. He's missed 27 of 32 games. He's one misstep from being gone. What is the one thing that led you, I mean, what's the deciding factor that led you to bring him back?
Yeah, I think for us it's about Josh wanting to make a change and having the opportunity. And, you know, we've got 90 guys on the roster right now, and he's one of those young men that has an opportunity. And we'll find out very quickly if he's serious about it. And we believe that he is. But we'll hold him accountable. He's going to have to hold himself accountable. There's, frankly, I mean, let's be honest, there's nothing we're going to be able to do to force Josh to change. The change is going to be within him. We will support him through that. As teammates, as front office staff, as coaches, as player development specialists. But the change is going to have to be within Josh, and we think, and I think the NFL thinks, he's got a good opportunity to do that.
You made it pretty clear after minicamp broke, you know, going into the summer, that you're really not going to put up with a lot of nonsense off the field. You're expecting players to conduct themselves and represent the franchise in an appropriate manner. Josh, as well as other players going forward, where is that barometer at as far as a no tolerance policy? Is it pretty firm, or, you know?
Oh, it's firm, but I think every case has got to be dealt with individually. I mean, because again, we're talking about Josh Gordon, a player who hasn't been with this football team. You know, I've had no interaction with him. So I think as we move forward, you know, I think then we can judge that, you know, as we go along. But I think right now it would be too, you know, it wouldn't be the right thing to do.
Did you look at the film when he played?
You better 14? Believe I did.
That influence?
No, I mean, I know who Josh Gordon is as a football player. What really captured me is Josh Gordon as a person, you know. And I, as Sashi said, we won't get into the details of the conversation, but I felt very good about having a conversation with him, and I think he will let you know that we were very open and honest, and that there are expectations about how we do things here. We're not gonna go backwards, you know, we're only going forward, and I think he has to meet our standards and how we go about doing business here, and I think he's willing to do that, and I think that's why we're sitting here today with him on our football team. I think whoever earns that job is going to earn it out here on this field. But I, you know, we're going to go through a process here pretty soon. It's going to show itself really quickly, and it would definitely be before we play a first preseason game. So, I mean, I know everybody's looking for me to say, here's the guy. But I still want to get out here with our players, you know, because all of them have to earn a starting spot, you know, as we move forward. So we're going to hit the ground running tomorrow and start a practice, and we'll start evaluating that position as well as all of the positions as we move forward.
Even them out between RG3 and Josh?
I'm sorry?
Will you be weighing the reps? Will they be even between those two guys? I mean, is it a true open competition? How would you describe this thing?
I think it's open competition everywhere, you know. Maybe everybody would say with the exception of Joe Thomas, you know. I think we have to earn the right to play for our organization, for a football team. And I think even Joe's going to walk back in this building ready to go and chomping at the bit. So I think every player, you know, I don't want to get locked into, well, it's going to be 60-40 or 50-50. I think what's most important is whatever I think I need to do and our staff needs to do to evaluate, and Sashi and Paul evaluate our players, that's what we'll do. And I think that's what's important moving forward.
What would be the one thing that maybe has surprised you from going from baseball to football now that you went through the draft and preseason camp and that kind of stuff?
You know, honestly, I think the biggest surprise is just how similar things are. I mean, at the end of the day, obviously the game is very different. There are nuances that need to be addressed, but fundamentally, they're really, really similar. We deal with a lot of the same issues. We're answering the same questions. It's still about people at the end of the day, making hopefully quality decisions consistently about people and trying to build a team and a culture. All that's very, very similar. And I think, you know, I'd focused much more on just the differences of the game, you know, when I was thinking about making the move. But since I've been here, all the rest of that, I think, is, you know, 90% of the equation, and that's been very, very comfortable for me.
We saw Robert take
the one reps in the spring. So what specifically have you and Pep been working on with him that you need to see improvement as the intensity increases in camp to make you guys feel comfortable that you can move forward with him as your starter?
Just play the position the way we expect it to be played, you know, and that's at every position. You know, we have an expectation of how that position plays, and I think contrary to what I think some people feel, I think he was getting there and has done a good job. I just think, you know, there's still another step. That was OTAs. You know, like you said, the intensity is going to ramp up a little bit at every position, you know, because I think what's important is we're trying to create a winning football team here, because I truly expect to win, as I said from day one. And so that's what we're going to set out to do at every position.
Sashi, what kind of expectations should the fans have for this year?
They should hold us accountable, just as Hugh said, Rod. The expectation here should be winning. You know, our roster is obviously younger than some of the other teams in our division, as we've brought in a lot of young guys. But as we've told them, and we will tell them in the team meeting this afternoon, this isn't about taking a year off or looking up in 2 or 3 years. This is about starting with the first rep out here tomorrow, getting better and competing every single snap. And that'll translate into our games in the preseason and certainly the regular season. So when we get to Philadelphia, we're ready to go. But you can't look past the work that it's going to take to get there and to establish the culture that we've started, you know, building some of that foundation in the spring, and we'll continue to build on that here in training camp.
There's so many new players and, you know, almost an outrageous amount of young players in terms of, like, you talked about winning. So how do you manage, I guess, both expectations, and you too, maybe on this thing. You got all these young guys, you know, they got to learn how to play.
We have some older ones too now. And we have some older ones too.
And certainly play your way in this division, which you know very well.
Well, I don't know any other way to do this but to chase winning and to chase perfection, you know, each and every day. And I think as you do that, you never know what you can hit on. This is football. You know, there's no exact science to how this works. I mean, there's no magical way of predicting what the record's going to be. The guys in that locker room are going to determine how good we're going to be by how they work. I don't think it has anything to do with being young, old, in between, any of that. I think it has to do with our process, how we practice, how we go about understanding the opponent, how we go about resting and all the things that I know that Paul's involved with and Sashi's involved with to get our football team to be the best that we can be. And if we do it better than 31 of the other teams in the National Football League, then we got something special happening. And that's all we're chasing, and that's all we're after. Now, what the record's going to be, I don't know. But at the end of the day, I know this. We're going to win, and we're going to expect to win.
That's Hugh Jackson, Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, part one, part two coming your way at 2:30. Still to come at 2 o'clock, we will have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, who was in that press conference, what he's looking forward to at training camp. We'll also give you the quarterback position preview in the 2 o'clock hour. But when we come back, let's get your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 here on CBD. Plus, man, I have a couple thank yous to dole out to some of our CBD faithful who certainly hooked us up, getting us ready for training camp in an absolutely phenomenal way, and we want to thank them. That's coming up right after this. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Obviously a news-filled day here, and you heard from Sashi and Hugh Jackson, Paul DePodesta, they're excited. Obviously a lot of talk about Josh Gordon, but what I came away from that was, and knowing Sashi like I do and kind of reading between the lines, what he said is that Josh Gordon, ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to be on Josh Gordon, but that the Josh Gordon that they spoke to gave them a lot of confidence that he has an opportunity to be a positive contributing member to this football team.
Yeah, and I think, and I know Tony Grossi has come out and said that, you know, that Roger Goodell was throwing the Browns no bone by reinstating Josh Gordon and putting us in this quandary place that we don't essentially want Josh Gordon. And I think some of that stems from, you know, the past drama that Johnny Manziel may have represented here, and that, you know, if we are taking on this new clean slate with Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown, that why do we want an old blemish? And I can understand where that comes from, but for me personally, I look, and you talked about it in the first segment, about what Josh Gordon can do on a football field. And if this new culture, this new regime, the mentality that the team and his teammates have taken on which reflect the positivity and the winning mentality that Hugh Jackson has brought here. If they can instill that in Josh Gordon then starts to live his life both in this building and outside this building in a different light.
Right, and they all said it too, though. We can't force Josh Gordon to change. Our culture can't force Josh Gordon to change. The veterans and the rookies on this team, Jim Brown, nobody can force Josh Gordon to change but Josh Gordon. If he wants it bad enough, he will do what he has to do because we all know what an immense talent he is. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the idea of Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman out there together makes me very, very excited. All right, we got to thank two of our listeners right now who really got us ready for training camp in the right way. First of all, our guy, the real BV, Brian Vaughn, coming up from Florida. We'll see you tomorrow at training camp, Brian. We'll see him tomorrow, and then Saturday it says he's going to be here. Got us some alma mater tumblers with goodies in there. He found an Emory one, which is incredibly impressive. Ohio State,
probably custom-made.
You can probably custom-make. Still undefeated, thank you. As well as a Bowling Green one for Gibbs, and, of course, the Ohio State one for you. And then we got to give a major shout-out to our guy George Erasmus, a longtime Browns fan who sent us a note saying, I want to send a note of gratitude for all you guys do for the Cleveland Browns fans all over the world. You keep us informed. Love your non-biased, straight-shooting coverage of the team. And he went on to talk a lot about the team. He's a season ticket holder, born and raised in Cleveland, who now lives in New Jersey, where he is the owner of Tribeca Oven, which is an artisan bakery there. And if you're in that area, Carlstadt, New Jersey is where he is. Tribeca Oven, handcrafted breads. And he sent us a bunch of these amazing breads.
Too bad we get the Giants and Jets here at First Energy Stadium. Otherwise,
we go pay him a visit.
You're going to go pay him a visit.
Some
absolutely.
Fresh baked breads. So he sent us some bread, some cheeses, a cutting board, the knife to cut it, the
wine.
Everything, some wine.
Tequila.
And then he said, P.S., I know you guys love your tequila. I bet you've not had one of my favorites. Try some of the best. Class Azul, Platino, and Reposado. Toast to the opening of the season of growth, steady improvement, and chasing greatness. So certainly an unbelievable gesture, and we are so, so appreciative. And Brian and George and everybody who listens to the show on a daily basis, we couldn't do what we do without you guys. So thank you.
And we will keep up the good work.
We will. That's right. You're darn right we will, because it's go time
now. Optimism mixed with reality.
Yes. With doses here and there when necessary. But hopefully we can. The best part's going to be when the reality is as optimistic as we are.
100%.
Then it's going to just be.
And I think it's we are on the cusp of that.
I think we're headed in the right direction. All right, that's going to do it for our first hour. When we come back, hour number two is going to kick off with the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, live here in studio in the Dog Bowl. We'll get his impressions as we get ready for training camp as well. We'll give you the quarterback position preview, which I don't think is going to necessarily be a long one, but we're going to give it to you. We also have part two of the press conference of the leaders of the Cleveland Browns football organization, Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, of course, the head coach, Hugh Jackson. That's at 2:30, and also an opportunity for your calls. And don't forget to tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 35, at Browns _ daily. Football is back in Berea, and who better to set the scene than the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, and he'll do that next.